Hello, and welcome to the Resilient Soul Podcast. I'm your host, Kelly West, and with over 25 years in healthcare and the coaching and wellness space, I know how the stress and overwhelm of life can become our downfall. My hope for this podcast is to bring you real-life strategies and stories of resilience to help you gather the wisdom, strength, and insight that lies within your soul already. Make no mistake, you are here for a reason. Sometimes you just need a guide to help you see that truth. Now let's get to it and transform your burnout to bliss. Hey, hey, everyone. Welcome. And today on the podcast, we have the wonderful Renee Fick coming to share with us her story of resilience and burnout as she has traversed through a pregnancy while her husband was diagnosed with a life-threatening illness. Welcome, Renee, to the podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm super excited, too. You have an amazing story. Would you mind going ahead and just telling us a little bit about yourself, your background, and who you serve?
Yeah. So I'm Renee. I am mom of three. I live in San Diego. So it's nice and sunny most of the time, which makes me feel good all the time. Well, not all the time, but I am an occupational therapist. So I work part-time in the NICU with new little babies. And then the other part of my time, aside from being a mom and all of those types of life, I work with women who are overwhelmed and exhausted and tired of the mundane every day and help them really step into a place of finding more joy, saying yes to more life, embracing so much more simplicity and space and peace and all of that. So that's a little bit about me. And I'm sure we'll get into kind of the journey of how I got there and whatnot, but that's like me in a little bit of a nutshell.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. I love that we are both in healthcare on similar paths, wanting to just help others feel better, feel more into their power and be resilient and just let go of the chaos and find peace in our lives, which is so important, right? Yeah. Will you share with us your story of how you found your own peace and resilience through the chaos?
Yeah. So I think the big catalyst for the transition in my story probably happened about 5 years ago. And I'll get into that a little bit. But I think the bigger piece of it was when I was a kid, I had looked at my dad and he was so focused on making memories. Like life was so full of fun and full of adventure. I remember going on field trips and he would be the one everybody else in class wanted to ride in Mr. Dan Ryan's car because, you know, my dad was always fun and he made it a fun adventure. It wasn't just driving in the car, but, and so when I stepped into mom life, I kind of thought that that's what it was going to be like. I thought that mom life was going to be fun and it was going to be full of memories. And I knew that it was going to be challenging. Like I knew that there was going to be sleepless nights. I wasn't naive about it, but I really thought that a lot of that joy would triumph over. And it was about 5 years ago that I was pregnant with my third baby. I think it was like, I just found out I was pregnant with my third baby. I had just had an interview with one of my dream jobs and my husband was diagnosed with a brain tumor. All in the same month. So there was a lot that all hit me at that point in time. And prior to that, I wouldn't say that motherhood wasn't fun and great and wonderful, but that year definitely took a downward turn. Yeah, it was the navigating through him having the brain tumor removed. And as you and I were both talking about, like we both work in healthcare and I have worked with patients that have had brain tumors removed and it doesn't always go seamless. There's oftentimes residual stuff that happens. And so, you know, those fears that are coming up the whole way through it. And I think it's different when you are in that field and you see it every day. And I work in rehab. So I tend to see those people that need the rehab after. And so there was just a lot of mix of emotion leading up to that. And then a few months in after the tumor removed and everything actually went very beautifully in that terms, he started having seizures. So, you know, we set onto a whole new journey and path of not him not being able to drive anymore. And being a mom with, I was pregnant at the time and I had just started that new job and not being able to drive. So I was driving him back and forth to work. I was driving me back and forth to work, the kids back and forth to school. Everything kind of fell on my shoulder. And you don't think about it, and I give props to all the single parents, all of the military families, like all of those people that are doing things solo, because I didn't realize how much of the, you know, running to the grocery store or going to Target or you need anything, it all fell on my shoulders. And I hadn't realized how fortunate I had been to even have one other person to run late night to Target if you needed something, right? So that year following was when we were on our anniversary. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I'm done. Like, this is the burnout that you and I talked about. Like, I was burnt out. I just couldn't do it anymore. And I remember we were in Hawaii on our anniversary trip. And I can remember like getting out of the car, slamming the door shut and like walking away from my family along the side of the road in Hawaii. I was just like, I'm done, not going back. And those thoughts of like, if I stayed here in Hawaii, I could start over. I could do it all over. And this time I would do it very differently. I would not get married. I would not have kids. I would just do life very differently. And I'll let them go home. Like, they'll be fine without me. And so that was kind of the big turning point, I think, for me when I really reached that burnout rock bottom sort of place.
Oh, absolutely. I can't imagine being in such a beautiful place. People always think, you know, of Hawaii as that place. And that's where you're having these thoughts of, you know, peace out, family. I'm going to go do something else. You just go on and live your lives. I'm just going to hang here and we can separate and be on, right? So it shows how strong burnout can be for those of us who have gone through that and having those real deep, dark, strong emotions of I'm just done. So how did the next steps transpire? Obviously, you're still a mom and a wife, where you just are saying you want to leave my family behind. What were the steps to move beyond that and heal from your burnout and go on with life?
Yeah. Well, so coming back from that, like that was kind of my line drawn. And I like figuratively and literally was like line drawn in the sand, like what you're doing is not working. So something has to shift. Something needs to change. And at that time, my sister had gotten me involved with Beachbody. And so I fell very much into taking care of my body physically. And so I was working out, I was making sure I was eating well. And as a part of their program or their company, they have a very strong emphasis on personal development. And so I kind of dove into that personal development world. So it was the mix of really trying to learn and grow and take care of myself physically and emotionally. And then looking around my house, realizing what in my house is taking up so much of my time. Like, where am I getting exhausted? Where am I getting frustrated? And it was a lot of the chores and the cleaning and feeling like it was a constant mess all the time. That like visual clutter, right? That's in your house all the time can be really overwhelming. So that was kind of that big place that I started, was looking at how can I minimize the things that I'm not enjoying and how can I make sure that I'm filling my days with things that feel good, that take care of me. And so that was kind of the transition, the starting point in transition. And so I did go on a major declutter overhaul, and I've helped lots of women do that because it does make such a huge difference. Like, we don't realize how much that clutter is stressing us out and weighing us down. And, you know, research supports it, like through and through. Research supports that clutter is really taking a ton more time from us and energy and just happiness overall. So that was a big component to doing that. And then really, I think the biggest journey has been that inner transformation and just focusing on how can I improve how I feel each and every single day. And you and I probably both know that most of transformation in life doesn't come from all of the external habits so much as it comes from the internal dialogue and those thoughts that are going on inside your head. And so that was kind of the starting point of that and really transitioning that. And I've had clients tell me they're like, nothing in my external world has changed, but everything has changed because I'm looking at it differently. And I think that is the biggest, that's the biggest thing. That's the biggest transformation for anybody.
Absolutely. I believe you hit the nail on the head when you said the clutter, whether it's physical or emotional, it just drains our energy and becomes just a energy suck in our lives, right? And so it totally makes sense that removing that clutter in our lives helps to improve our energy.
Yeah.
I do that as well with my clients doing breath work, clearing out that emotional clutter because it gets so tied up within our nervous systems, which can be a catalyst for burnout and overwhelm. And it's hard to find a way to move on and feel better until that clutter is cleared. So I love that you are focusing on that.
Yeah.
When you are talking about creating space in our homes and lives, how do you see creating this space as a way of building more resilience? Both of us work in healthcare, and there's a lot of science behind burnout in healthcare. So how do you encourage those of us who are caregivers or work in healthcare and encourage them to find more resilience in their lives?
Well, I think that it's multifaceted. There's a lot rolled into that. But I think that some of it comes from the first piece is just asking yourself those questions of like what you have the capacity to change and what you don't. And so often I think I work with people that how I was feeling at the time was very much in this like victim mentality. The world is coming at you. Things are happening to you. And just that feeling of overwhelm and burnout. And then it perpetuates that cycle of feeling like everything keeps happening to you, right? And everything keeps coming at you. And it's just too much. And it's so much. And I feel like for me, the big switch was starting to ask my questions of like, what do you have the capacity to do? And it may not be a whole lot, depending on the situation. And you may not be able to make massive changes, but there is always something that we have the capacity to change, whether that be our perspective of it, whether it be the way we respond to it. We have the way we plan in our day, like what we remove, what we say no to, what we allow ourselves to think about. Like we have so much more capacity to control it than we really think we do, or to control some parts of it. And I think just that ownership can put you in a much different place. It can take you out of that place of feeling just totally tapped out and burnt out, can't handle anything, to, okay, I can take this one step and I can do this one thing. Or even if my day at work is crazy and I don't know what I'm going to expect when I get there, or I don't enjoy being there, I can't handle this, you can shift just a teeny little bit of like how you're going to show up. Maybe it's like, hey, today I'm going to find one person that I can inspire. And so as you go through the day and just that focus on, hey, where's one person I can inspire today, can completely shift the whole intention and the rest of the day. And so I think that that is a big, big piece for me in building that resilience, is that no low is ever too low if we're focused on just that next step.
Oh, I totally agree. It's about those baby steps, right? So many times we get caught up in wanting to change it all at the same time and just feeling like, you know, I'm miserable and I just want to feel better. So I want all of it to change at once. But if we just allow ourselves that grace to take those incremental little steps and consider our thoughts and what they are telling us, since so many of our thoughts when we're in that space, in that dark space, are really not serving us at our highest. So considering how we can show up differently, change those thoughts, helps us show up for ourselves and others. Mm-hmm. So I love that. You had mentioned when you just came back from Hawaii and starting to just ask yourself those better questions, which is such a great first step, right? What are the things that overwhelm me? And what are those one or two things that I can start with slowly that will help me unravel my feelings about burnout? So I really think that's so awesome.
Even like that, like there's the steps that we can take forward, right? But there's also those questions of like, what do I need to get rid of? For me, that was a big part of it, was like, how can I get rid of some of this clutter so that I'm not taking on? But it could be getting rid of expectations of other people, right? Or expectations of you, like what you expect of life and all of those types of things. And I think sometimes that even is one of the bigger things too, right? Is figuring out what needs to go, not necessarily what we need to add on. Because I think oftentimes we add on and add on, when creating that space and being still and being silent is oftentimes most of what we need. And I know you are in that vein, in that space too. But oftentimes we're always looking for that thing that's going to fix it. We're looking for that thing that we need to do. We're looking for the thing that we need to add to our lives that's going to make it all better, when most of the time it's more about letting go of something that's no longer serving us.
Oh, totally. I think a lot of things that lead to burnout is adding to, you know, more things to our plate, whether it's self-imposed or not, like your husband getting ill, being pregnant. Yeah. You know, we need to find ways to just take things off our plate, you know, whether they're choice or not. I wanted to just go back and talk a little bit about what you said when you were talking about starting Beachbody and getting into exercise and physical movement, really of any kind. Even just a walk is so helpful for us, not to add more to our plate, but to just see what can come off our plate to take time for that walk or another exercise. Because moving our bodies has really been shown, you know, that it can bring more positive energy into our lives and remove the negative, right?
Yeah. And I know for me, like as a mom, I work with moms, and I find that oftentimes like time is that one thing that people say like, well, I just don't have time to exercise. I don't have time to go do that. And for a long time, I probably said that too. But I have found that there's so many things that we can do with our kids. And then we're then role modeling to them how to take care of yourselves. And it's helpful for them too. Like they need the movement and exercise and stuff like that too. So like I have on my kids' family, you know, chore chart that on there is exercise. So because I think it's so important to teach our kids that exercising isn't necessarily about weight loss. It's not about what your body looks like, but it's about how you feel. And so we do consistently have like nightly walks where we all walk around the house and, or outside. And when I feel like crap and I've had the worst day, that is usually that moment that resets everything. And when the kids are going crazy and it's chaos inside my house, I'm like, let's get out. Let's go for a walk. Because just getting them out, we're all on one track. We're all doing one thing at the same time. They're running, exuding energy. It's outside in nature, which I think is a whole nother ball game that you could talk about. Like being outside in nature does that too. But yeah, definitely.
Yeah, sure. We've all been there. Awesome. So where can people connect with you, Renee, if they want to learn more about you and tap into your wisdom and your tools?
Yeah. So I have my podcast, which is Rising Moms Podcast. So that's over in the podcast world. On Instagram, it is at Renee Fick. And then on Facebook, we are at The Rising Moms. And that's where you can find us online too, is therisingmoms.com.
Perfect. And before we close, is there anything you'd like to cover and share with our audience to call this episode complete?
I recently have had a text message from a friend of mine who feels like she's in that place. And so I know that in that place, it can feel very alone. It can feel like maybe you're not the only one that's feeling some of those thoughts and feeling some of those feelings. And maybe those questions of like, what's wrong with you? Why is it not working? It seems like it's working for everybody else. Why is it not working for me? And all of that type of stuff. I just want to acknowledge for anybody that's in that space that you are not alone. There are lots of other people that are in that space right now, but there's also a lot of people who have been there and have figured out some tools and resources and would be more than happy to come alongside you and help you kind of walk back out of that.
Love that. And thank you so much for sharing. I'm so grateful you came on this podcast today. And thanks to everyone for listening to the Resilient Soul Podcast. Until next time, be well.